Our text is taken now for the final time from Acts chapter 10, verses 24 through 33, as we conclude our series, 10 Principles of Preparation for Preaching. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea. And Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine arms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one, Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee.' Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and that hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." For several Lord's days now, we have considered our text in the context of 10 principles of preparation for preaching. An angel was sent to Cornelius. He was a centurion. He was an older man. He was a seasoned veteran officer of the army of Rome. He had become a proselyte to the Jewish religion. There were two types of proselytes. One was called the proselyte of the gate. That person remained uncircumcised, but had become convinced of the monotheistic religion of Israel. He came to be a worshiper of Jehovah God. This man, we are told, was one that feared God with all his house and was devout. And yet, he was unconverted. What a rebuke to mere professing Christianity. An unconverted man who feared God with all his house and was devout. His religion governed everything about his life, and he was still in an unconverted state. An angel was sent to him to call for one Simon Peter, who was some 60 miles away to the south. An angel could not preach the gospel. It was left to a man to preach to his fellow men and open up the way of salvation. At the same time, Peter fell into a trance in a time of prayer, and God convinced him not to call any man common or unclean. No Gentile was allowed in a Jewish home. When the three messengers sent by Cornelius called for Simon Peter, they stood at the gate and would not even enter the house. And we are told that after this vision, the Holy Spirit said to Peter, three men are asking for you. Go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. And he came and brought them into the house. What barriers were broken, religious and cultural, and lodged them. For the first time in history, Jews and Gentiles sat down at the same table, shared a meal, and spoke about religious and cultural things. God was preparing them for the ordinance of preaching. This is the importance God has put upon preaching. He will not send an angel from heaven. He sends a man to preach to his fellow men, to give them the way of truth. Both the preacher and the hearer must prepare for preaching if preaching should be what God intended it to be. We first noted there must be an eager anticipation for the preaching of the Word of God. And Cornelius, we are told in verse 24, waited for them. In the original language, it's a paraphrastic construction. He was, referring to a continuity of time, anxiously waiting for them. A very emphatic expression. Cornelius prepared for 4 days to hear that sermon by Peter. You are hearers today, sitting under this message. How long have you prepared to sit under preaching? Was it yesterday? Was it today? Was it this morning, rising early and spending time in prayer and preparing your heart for the Word of God? I don't believe so. You've come with other things on your mind, and it takes the singing of hymns, it takes the reading of the Scripture, it takes prayer and other things even to prepare us and gain our attention for the ministry of the Word. God help us. For our casual approach to God's truth, it was not so with Cornelius. For 4 days, he was anxiously, constantly praying and waiting and preparing for the words of Simon Peter. The second thing that we have noted, there must be a concern for others to sit under the ministry of the Word. He had called together his entire family, his associates, and his close friends. He had rehearsed to them that an angel appeared unto him, and they were all there tensely waiting with great anticipation for the sermon that Peter would preach. These are the principles of preparation we find in the Word of God. Third, there must be a proper perspective of the one who preaches. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius prostrated himself before him. The word worship is proskenuo. Pros meaning forward. Kune is dog. Like a dog creeping up with its ears down, its tail down, in submission to his master, he prostrated himself before Peter, and Peter took him and picked him up and say, stand up, I myself also am a man. We may make too much of the man of God, but we may make too little of him. We come with a critical spirit. We don't receive the message. We take something that is mentioned in the message and we run up to the pulpit and we want to correct the pastor. God forbid! That's not preaching. You're not prepared for preaching. You're here to receive the Word of God that even an angel from heaven cannot give you. God help us all. Stand up. I myself also am a man, but I am a man that God cannot even entrust my message to an angel from heaven. And we should respect this pulpit and we should respect the message of God. The fourth principle, we must set aside all prejudice. And it was a prejudice now on the part of the preacher. Peter would never have gone there. Peter often argued with the Lord, did he not? Throughout our Lord's earthly ministry, Peter was the one who corrected him. Not so, Lord. Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. Though all men should forsake you, I'll give my life for you. Really, Peter, before the cock crows thrice, you will deny me thrice. God must supernaturally convince Peter not to call any man common or unclean. Set aside your prejudice. The preacher's uneducated. The preacher uses the wrong words. His gestures are irritating. We have to sit here and he preaches too long. Coming with a critical spirit rather than receiving the truth of God. We must set aside all prejudice. Then again, there must be earnest, fervent prayer. Not only on the part of the preacher. What if I came to you and said, you know, I've had a busy week, like most of you. And I haven't felt good. And after church work day yesterday, my hip replacement is killing me. And I hardly slept all night. And that's true. But I was here. Because your pastor is a man and you need to see him here as a man. I've got better things to do, but I'm here with the men and a man among men. That's the way it has to be in the ministry. And so I didn't pray. I came here totally unprepared. And you would say, fire him. We pay him to preach. We pay him to pray. We pay him to stay up at night and pray for us and our family. And yet I can ask you, how many of you labored in prayer before you came here this morning, preparing for the ministry of the Word, and you receive it as a Word from God? Never belittle the ordinance of preaching. No matter who's in the pulpit. June the 30th, 1630. June the 30th, 1630, in the hills of Scotland, at the Kirk of Shotts, the communion season was over. They decided a Monday morning sermon would be good before people dispersed back to their homes. After prayer and discussion, they had a 17-year-old boy stand up to preach. He was so scared, he ran away. And was 2 or 3 miles away, barely able to see the steeple on the Kirk of Shotts. And he returned back, moved by the Spirit of God. Robert Livingstone. 500 people were converted that day. Whoever's in the pulpit preaching, you may not like him. He may disgust you. You may find much wrong with him. For crying out loud, my friends, Peter was far from perfect. But he could do what an angel from heaven could not do. God help us how we have a disdain for what God has ordained. Preaching. Preaching. The preaching of Christ and Him crucified. Holding up the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. And all we do is sit in our padded pews and complain. There must be an obedient disposition to receive the Word of God. We are all here present to hear. They came to hear. Not to discuss, not to show off their finery. Not to boast about this or that. And not to bring their business into the church. In the average church, you cannot have fellowship. Do you know that? I've been in a lot of churches in the last 50-some years. You go in and here's a group of men, they're discussing the construction business or their finances or politics or something else. And in most churches, you never have a true spiritual God-honoring conversation. We import it into the church. And we're certainly hypocritical if we complain about the preaching, aren't we? Preaching is what God has ordained. There must be a respectful punctuality and attendance to the preaching of divine truth. We are all here. The old soldier said, all present and accounted for. And they were all on time. Why were they all on time? Because it was an occasion that could not be missed. An angel from heaven had prepared them. But God's ordained preaching every Lord's Day. And it takes the smallest excuse for us to absent ourselves from what God has ordained. There should be a unanimity among the hearers of the congregation. That was our last observation. There should be. We should be gathered together and be one in purpose. But we fellowship. We have the coffee time. We take the Baptist sacrament. We have our coffee before the preaching and we're talking about everything. But those things that are spiritual and needful. And so we start all over again from the ground up to prepare ourselves for preaching. If we do pray, it's a short prayer. Lord, I pray he doesn't preach too long. After all, I have my casserole in the oven for the fellowship dinner, and we don't want this to spoil and we don't want this to sour. Most things in the average church have nothing at all to do with the gospel, and they split the church. Petty personalities, family divisions, this or that or something else, party spirits, divisions here, divisions there, and it has nothing to do with the gospel. People shed tears over these things. People threaten to leave the church over these things. The whole church is just a rotten mass. It has nothing to do with the gospel. I'm here for one reason, to preach the gospel. And apart from that, I don't have a right to exist or a reason to exist. And you come to me with all of these stupid things that should be cured in the atmosphere of gospel preaching. But gospel preaching has no influence or an effect upon your life. And therefore, the pastor's time is getting over with all of these personal problems. God help us. And now, if you will stay with me and not flee away, the last two principles of preparation for preaching. In the ninth place, from verse 33, there must be a true God consciousness. Look carefully at the words in verse 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. If you have your Greek New Testament on your lap, and I would that you all brought your Greek New Testament or an interlinear, look and see the force and the richness and the glory of the Word of God in the original. We are all here before God, present to hear. The words before God are in a position of emphasis. There was an overwhelming God consciousness in that meeting because an angel had prepared them for it. There was a supernatural preparation to hear preaching, to hear this one man who is going to speak about forgiveness of sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before God, in the wedding ceremony, we usually say we are gathered here in the sight of God and you as accompanied witnesses to join this man and this woman in holy matrimony. The same thing is true in preaching. We are gathered here before God, in the sight of God, to sit under preaching. God is especially present when His people come together, and He is especially present and glorified and honored under preaching. First, we are gathered before God who sees and knows all. Yes, He knows us. We heard much of this in the last message this morning from the book of James, chapter 4. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God knows us. Nothing can be hidden from Him. He knows our hearts. He knows our secret sins. If we could see portrayed on the walls here today what disgusting things fill the minds and hearts of men and women while they're sitting under preaching. You're not listening, you're lusting, you're thinking, you're planning, you're filled with sin and opposition to the Word of God. God knows it all. Nothing can be hidden from Him. And on the other hand, He knows the trials. He knows the bitter disappointments. He knows the fears. He knows the grief. He knows the tears. And you come here with an aching heart and you want to hear something of God's love and God's kindness. You come and say, "Oh God, meet with me today. I can't go on. My burdens are heavier than I can bear. Oh Lord God, speak to me a word of peace and comfort." That person will pray for good preaching. The second thing that we note is that God honors His primary ordinance of preaching with His presence. With His presence. Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst of them. God honors His Word. And when His Word is preached, God honors it. Is there any thing that God has ordained where He has promised to bless with His Holy Spirit in a corporate sense upon the church more than preaching? The entire week is focused on 1 hour. The time when our hearts are prepared and we come before God to sit under preaching. But I don't like the preacher. I don't like what he says. You haven't prayed about it. And if you don't like him, no matter what he does or what he says, then pray him out into another ministry. Prayer. Preparation of mind and heart. It would have an atmosphere for preaching that would be profound. You can remember services when indeed the presence of God was awfully felt among us. We were a praying people. We were a new church. We saw people converted. And we came with our hearts overflowing with joy in the things of God. Then we got padded pews. We got our own property. We got our own building. We became comfortable. And we said, "We have arrived." And we ceased in many ways to be what we were as a true congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Third, preaching is designed by God to break into our private subjective world with the truth. You come, you have your mind, your sin, your fantasy, your hopes, your desires, many of them unsanctified, some of them outright filthy and God dishonoring. And you come to sit under preaching, and preaching is designed to break through all of this and bring you to face with the truth. Listen to Romans chapter 1. In the very act of professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and sidestepped the Creator in order to worship creation. That is the history of idolatry in sinful, fallen mankind. Man has a concept of God that is untrue. It derives from his own imagination. He makes God like to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things, and through idolatry he drags God down to his own level so he can worship the God of his own imagination, a God who will accept him just the way he is. Preaching is to break through this and declare a righteous, just, and holy God before all men are condemned utterly apart from the righteousness of Christ. There is no comfort before the God of the Bible unless you are covered in the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith. Faith in His active obedience whereby He kept the law. Faith in His passive obedience whereby He paid its penalty through His suffering and death and has provided that perfect righteousness. Saving faith lays hold of Christ in all of His fullness and appropriates it. Apart from that, you are living in a dream world, a world of fantasy and wickedness and sin, and preaching is designed to break through that and face you with truth and reality for the hope and deliverance of your soul and of your life. Preaching for the believer is edifying. Do you mean to tell me with all of this vehemence, it edifies me? The Spirit of God in your life and heart and mind answers to the Spirit of God and the heart and mind of the preacher, and two of you in a very unique sense and in a spiritual sense become one in the hand of God. Your passions become His passions. His passions become your passions. And your heart cries out an amen, because you are one in the hand of God. That is the unique character of preaching, and it does not happen any place else or any under other circumstance. That's preaching. And I suppose that modern day Christians hate real preaching more than anything else. We are too prosperous. Which of the prophets have not your fathers killed? Stone them that were sent unto you. Why in the world did the people of God murder and martyr God's spokesman? Because they could take God's blessing, but they could not take His word. It doesn't matter who we are or what else we do, unless we receive God's word, we have nothing. Prayer and a sanctified anticipation greatly enhance our attention to and profit from the ministry of the Word. Never, even in the Word of God, I do believe, was there ever a congregation like the one that assembled at the house of Cornelius. Wasn't a church building, it was in his home. It was crowded with people, and for 4 days they had been praying for and anticipating the ministry of the Word. And Peter didn't even preach half his sermon. God the Holy Spirit interrupted the meeting and poured out His Spirit and brought salvation to the Gentiles. The greatest step of the New Testament was taken. And now the gospel would go forth to the ends of the earth, and it began in the house of one man, where the people prayerfully had an anticipation for the ministry of the Word of God. Now to the final principle of preparation for preaching. There must be a readiness to receive all divine truth. Again, verse 33, now therefore are we all here before God present to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. This is a military term, the word command. Cornelius said, We're here to receive marching orders, sir. God has spoken to you. Give to us the commands of God, and we are ready and willing to obey. Cornelius, the old soldier, his life was reflected in his Christianity. He was about to be converted, and he would be no ordinary nominal Christian, would he? To hear all things, but I don't agree with that. To hear all things, but I don't agree with this. I don't think he developed his subject properly. I think he spent too much time on this, coming with a critical mind and a critical eye and never receiving the truth of God. To hear all things commanded thee of God. What part of the Word of God is second rate? What part of the Word of God can we do away with? Let's take our scissors and let's chop up the Bible and say, these things are not important. To hear all things commanded thee of God. We must understand that in the providence of God, the particular occasion for preaching has been divinely ordained. Your whole life has come down to this 1 hour. My whole life has come down to this 1 hour. We have prayed and we beseech God, give the preacher the thoughts to think and the very words to say. In the providence of God, He brought you here, not only into this building, but for this very hour to hear the Word of God. Your whole life is focused now at a point in time, history, and experience. And both the preacher and the people experience the Word of God. Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot take Him as Savior and not take Him as Lord. Jesus Christ is the only Redeemer from sin, from hell, and from eternal condemnation and judgment. By His active obedience, throughout His perfect life, He kept the demands of the law. They needed to be kept. He kept them as the last Adam, the second man. By His passive obedience, culminating in His suffering and death, He paid the penalty of God's law. God is a righteous, just, and holy God. His law remains supreme, and His law will be the standard on the final day of judgment. And we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are en nomo, in the sphere of the law's jurisdiction, in order that every mouth may be stopped and all the world guilty may become before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the full, true, adequate knowledge of sin. I must preach Christ. I must point men and women, boys and girls to Him. There alone is deliverance from the wrath of God. There alone is deliverance, and there alone is the perfect righteousness that God demands. Flee to Christ. Look to Him. Rest yourself in Him. By faith lay hold of this righteousness and appropriate it. Cry out for God to have mercy upon you. Your whole life is focused now upon this one point. My whole life is focused upon this one point. In the providence of God, we're brought together under the sound of my voice. And God has spoken to me the words to say to you that you might be converted. And should you turn from the message of truth, then on the final day of judgment, He will point you to this day in August and to this year and time. And in that hour, when the truth was placed before you clearly and urging you to have faith in Jesus Christ, you turn your back. You will answer that on the day of judgment. In fact, in the day of judgment, men will give account of every idle word. So complete is God in His justice. I'm giving you truth. And God has brought us all together at a point in time, history, and experience that we might be exposed to preaching. We have each of us a tendency to retreat into our own individual beliefs, prejudice, and tradition. And so we amen what we agree with. And we refuse what we don't agree with, rather than aligning it to the Word of God. What saith the Scripture? That is the one great question and issue. What saith the Scripture? Not what the denomination says, or my confession of faith, or the notes in my study Bible, but what does the Scripture say? That is the concern of my soul. And if I hear the truth, I may have to say, oh me, oh my, God help me, rather than say amen. But I know that it must be true from the Word of God, and I must submit to it. We are all here before God present to hear all things commanded thee of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be fully limbed and completely outfitted unto every good work. Singular in the original. The Word of God through preaching is to completely outfit you. It is the preaching of the Word of God that we need. Do not refuse God's ordinance of preaching. Receive the truth that God has given. There was a statement that came from the Protestant Reformation and their high view of preaching. The preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit witness to divine truth. Even in this message, the gospel's been made clear. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He has fulfilled the commands of God. He has fulfilled completely the demands of God's holy law. Salvation is in Him alone. Flee to Christ. Look to Him. Believe in Him. Rest in Him. Have your life transformed by His grace. Know the reality and necessity of a converted life. Be redeemed and saved from the reigning power of sin. Be able to stand in the judgment at the last day and rejoice in the imputation of His righteousness. What more can be said? 10 principles of preparation for preaching, all of them essential and all of them sadly scorned in our day. Brush aside the contemporary and seek for the eternal and set your soul to seek the Lord. Be reconciled to Him and know of a truth, the witness and testimony of the Holy Spirit, that you are indeed a true child of God. And understand that God has ordained preaching. He can't send an angel for it. He must send a man. And He sends a man as a test of faith, that they would receive the truth of the Word of God. May God bless His truth. Father, glorify Yourself in this. Oh, Lord God, we live in a wicked age when even Your professed people are self-centered and asleep to the truth and reality and demands of Your holy Word. Oh, we would substitute and cast away our self-confidence, our false assurance, our self-centeredness and our petty differences, just to have the true joy of the Lord vouchsafed by the Holy Spirit, because we give attendance obediently to Your Word. So let it be, O Lord God. By Your Holy Spirit, visit Your people through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.